Hello, everybody, and welcome to Data Protection Conversations, a podcast from the European Data Protection Supervisor. I'm Ute Kallenberger, and in this episode, we'll highlight the risk-based approach as one of the regulatory choices that is part of the data protection reform. Our guest today is Dr. Raphael Gellert. He's researcher at Tilburg University and expert in the field of risks in data protection. Dr. Gellert, first, let me tell you that it's a great pleasure to have you with us. Today, we want to talk about risk assessment in data protection, a subject that has been in the center of your work and studies. You're currently a postdoctoral researcher at Tilburg University. Before that, you completed your PhD at the Freie Universität in Brussels on the risk-based approach in data protection. There, you wrote extensively on data protection impact assessments and risk management. I would like to start by addressing one of your earlier works entitled We Have Always Managed Risks in Data Protection Law. There you've compared the rights-based with the risk-based approach to data protection. Could you please tell us more about this dichotomy between the rights-based and the risk-based approach?
Yes, hello. And first of all, I would like to thank you for having me on the podcast, and I'm very honored that you contacted me to ask me these questions about my work. I have to say that when I published this paper, now it was more or less 3 years ago, I feel that it was misunderstood by a number of people who thought that what I was saying is that risk management is the same as data protection law. And so actually, it's a great opportunity for me to clarify exactly what I meant as I wrote about it in this paper, and then the risk-based approach as it exists in the GDPR.
Okay.
And what I try to do in this 2016 paper is to show, let's say in theory, what the risk-based approach is. And there I show that indeed it's about the data controller who have full discretion to determine what the most adequate safeguards are. So it's compared to the rights-based approach, it's much more contextual.
Is it actually a blank check to the controller? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So that's the most important and negative aspect to it is that the data controller has a lot of discretion, which is indeed a blank check. Now, there's also a more let's say positive way to look to look at it, and is to say that the data controller is in a better position to assess what are the most efficient safeguards to implement. And in this sense, they can actually implement better safeguards because they know better.
Yeah. Can you briefly explain why and how risk assessment has changed since the data protection reform last year?
The GDPR has implemented a sort of a specific approach to the risk-based approach, if you can say. And so the main concern, of course, during the adoption of the GDPR was to uphold the idea that is at the heart of a rights-based approach, which is that everyone is entitled to the same level of data protection. And of course, this is a problem when you think that the risk-based approach is precisely about providing a contextual protection depending on the level of risk, so by definition, unequal. And what we have come up with, or at least that's what I've argued in my work, is that we've come up with a notion of the risk-based approach, which is mostly about compliance risks. So it's about using risk management tools as a way to calibrate compliance and in order to assess, well, how big is the risk of non-compliance? And on this base, what do we need to do?
So if you had to define the concept of risk as enshrined in the GDPR in one sentence, what would that sentence be?
Well, I would say that the concept of risk in the GDPR is the chances that the contemplated processing operation will or will not comply with the data protection principles. And one way of measuring whether this will happen or not is by having regards to the impact of the processing, which we can measure in terms of the impacts on the fundamental rights of the data subjects.
Excellent. Now, coming back to the risk-based and the rights-based approach, when the GDPR defines what you do in the context of a data protection impact assessment, in your works, you actually pointed out that Article 35 of the GDPR has a bit of a warped wording. Could you maybe expand on that? What do you not like about Article 35 of the GDPR?
Well, the risk-based approach as such is not defined. And it was first mentioned in discussion by the Council of the EU during the adoption of the GDPR, but it's not defined as such. GDPR risk is also not defined. In this sense, anything that we have either in Article 35 or in the recitals, when we try to define what the notion of risk is, are just scattered elements. And a risk is mentioned in terms of severity and likelihood. And what I found is that we have mostly elements that define the risk in terms of severity. So let's say how big, but we have very little to nothing in terms of likelihood. So how likely it is to happen. And of course, this is a drawback that we need to address with additional material, obviously.
Okay. If you had to give one advice for risk mitigation to DPO in the public sector, what would that be?
Are we talking about big infrastructure projects? So are we talking about, you know, implementing smart grids, going on for smart cities projects? These are, of course, processing operations that have huge social consequences that have risk of a very big magnitude and that trigger a number of questions that also go beyond strictly compliance with data protection and that touch upon issues of, for instance, social acceptation of technology, ethical values, these kinds of things. So I think that it really depends exactly what kind of project the public sector is involved.
Thank you very much for that piece of advice. Now, along the same vein of societal acceptance and risks to data subjects, I would like to address the vulnerability of data subjects, since a major goal of the GDPR is to protect and empower data subjects. In the PRIO policy brief, which you co-authored about refugee smartphones, you called for more debate on how to reduce the vulnerability of refugees using smartphones. Do you have any concrete suggestions for this?
When you think of impact assessment or data protection risk management in the context of data protection, it's often going to be limited to compliance issues. And again, this leaves out of the picture a number of broader questions. And for instance, in the context of refugees who are dependent upon their digital devices, I mean, there are a lot of questions that we need to ask, for instance, concerning our faith in technology and the fact that we will know everything about the refugees when we peek into their digital devices. And for instance, I'm just not so sure that doing an impact assessment, the way that it is constructed in the GDPR, will be sufficient to address all these questions.
Refugees are obviously in a very vulnerable situation. Can you think of other groups of data subjects that are per se vulnerable and why?
You know, specific individuals are specifically, you know, sensitive or at risk. Mm-hmm. Of course, a good way to look into is to look at the harms. And for instance, in the case of refugees, it's, you know, a very sensitive situation because anyone who is in possession of their information, well, this can have life or death types of consequences. But again, one of the problems that when you look at the GDPR and Article 35, there is very little that touches upon the harms and the violations of the data subject rights. So one way, you know, of defining further subject at high risk would be to focus on the harms. However, this is also very complicated for a number of reasons. For instance, you know, people experience harm differently. It's hard to measure. It can happen at various different moments in time. Mm-hmm. So, in a sense, it's also very impractical and very difficult. And my guess is that this is also one of the reasons why the harm related measures are largely absent from the GDPR.
Because it is so difficult to regulate on vague concepts.
Yes, it's just much more complicated because you need to ask people, you need to have finer grain data. So it's potentially very resource intensive and not so easy to use.
Thank you very much. I have a more general question for you. Humans seem to find assessing risks and rationally acting upon such assessment particularly difficult. Think of smoking, climate change, or marriage without prenup. Are you optimistic that assessing risks and acting upon that assessment works better in the context of data protection? And what gives you that optimism?
Well, yeah, I think it's a really difficult question to ask, but I think that one also must differentiate between the examples that you gave to me, which mainly concern specific individuals, and then the risk-based approach, which is part of the GDPR and which is mainly targeted data controllers. And now I think that's one of the really important things to keep in mind with the risk-based approach, is that it uses risk management tools, but it's also more than using risk management tools. It's also a method of regulation, of better implementing the general data protection regulation. Mm-hmm. And in this sense, it's a regulatory method, and it's based upon an effort of data controllers to better comply with the GDPR. So I think that, of course, it's a different situation, because here we are, well, supposedly with actors, public and private, who want to do better, mm-hmm. and who have now been given the means to do better. So in this sense, of course, there is reason for optimism.
Thank you. That is an optimistic view. Do you think that a regulatory model can promote trust in data protection?
So, of course, this regulatory model in the GDPR, which is based upon the data controllers taking some responsibility to comply and better comply with the GDPR, is also based upon trust between regulators and data controller. And this is essential to mention, of course, because there has been experience in other fields, such as in the financial sector, where we have seen that actors who had the similar responsibilities as a data controller actually have been found to take way too many risks, and actually have been also found to completely disregard their regulatory commitments to better compliance. So in this sense, it is essential that we trust the data controller's commitment to better compliance and with the GDPR, but it's also critical, of course, to verify these commitments. And in this sense, it's a very good thing that the GDPR now provides for strong oversight and strong sanction mechanism on the side of the regulators.
Very good. If you were given one opportunity to change something about the way the GDPR has embraced this concept of risk as it currently is, one thing that you would really want to improve, what would that be?
I guess my main advice is to be aware and to pay attention to the fact that we don't want risk and risk management to transform into the new, let's say, box-ticking approach. Mm-hmm. Because that was one of the main complaints about the Data Protection Directive, was that it was just, you know, more compliance on paper. We just do box ticking, mm-hmm. and that's why now we have the risk-based approaches protection on the ground. And there is a risk that a lot of data controllers would then, adopt the same strategies with the risk-based approach and just say, yes, we have done an impact assessment, we have assessed the risk, we're fine to go, but that doesn't really translate concretely into their practices.
Do you have any recommendation for us at the EDPS to deal with that?
You know, in a sense, I think that one also has to be a bit suspicious with the actual result of the impact assessment. So there's always, I think, the need to be critical of what is the result of the impact assessment, because at the end of the day, these are just, you know, very formal methods. Mm-hmm. That can tell us something, but it's always important to double check whether what we have come up with, this sort of severity and probability and magnitude calculation, what does it really tell us about what we are actually doing to people? Mm-hmm. So I think that it's also more of an attitude and of the way that we use these instruments, because I think that's the most valuable lesson, is that these are just instruments and it really depends upon what is done with them.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gellert, for bringing back our focus on data protection being the protection of people rather than data. It has been an inspiring conversation. This is the end of today's podcast. We wish all our listeners a profound reflection on risks in data protection. Keep in touch for the next episode.